Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is Sunday Strategy Session. I'm going to try something different this week. So I'm doing a video to go along with this. I'm going to use the video. I'm going to tag the video. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be available to whoever wants to watch it. Okay. And it has some stuff in the video that is from the book. It's some scrap stuff that I didn't necessarily put in the book, but I just have been thinking about, it's just a variety of different thoughts that I have. But I when I get these AOD applied ideas, when I get the, when I get a subject that comes up, right, I just sort of take you behind the scenes, and I'll explain to you what I'm going to do. When I write AOD, I'm sort of writing AOD just about stuff that kind of interests me. And I don't really have like an aim in mind usually, right? And especially for the last couple, like for the first one, it was like, all right, I'm going to do a how-to on Dynasty. And then, you know, like I think the second one, I wanted to like do some super flex stuff because like I didn't have any of that in the first one. And now, like the third one, you know, I had some contributors. The fourth one, I didn't, but I sort of looked at some different. That was more of like a personal journey for me. Was really the fourth one, and who knows what the future is going to bring? But each one has kind of a different aim, and I don't really have an endpoint in mind. When I start, I just start writing, and I don't know. Like I'm beginning to sort of put together some ideas for the next one because I write from, I don't know, March 1st to like August 1st. I get a bunch done. And then, you know, I kind of try and like give, you know, some nights here and there through the season. And then I sort of finish it up in January. And so I'm starting to get some stuff in mind. But as I start right now, I don't know what I'm sort of aiming at. And I'm just kind of screwing around with the writing process. And what ends up happening is I'll write something and then, you know, a bunch of the book will be evergreen. It's all intended to be evergreen. Like I don't give pick recommendations. I don't say, hey, this guy's a buy, this guy's a sell. I want you to be able to pick the book up in 2028 and it to be the same thing as 2022. That's the goal, right? And obviously each one has different topics and that sort of thing, but I don't want it to be, hey, here's this, you know, like one of those magazines that you would have gotten in the 90s where it was like, all right, like first pick overall, Marshall Faulk. Like, that's not what I'm aiming for. I want it to be strategic. However, what's really cool is when I write the strategic stuff and it actually applies to things, right? So I call it like AOD applied. Like, how do we sort of think about this process? And so the Trey Lance thing is fascinating to me for a variety of reasons. I think it's really, we can look at the Trey Lance situation. We can look at his cost. We can look at his price. We can sort of do some stuff to it, right? And put some numbers to it, right? And so when people say like, "Hell, there's like a 50% chance this happens," like, is that actually true? Like, how do we think about that, right? So, I'm fascinated by that. I think it's really interesting. So I put together this podcast, right? You can listen to it in podcast. It's going to be the same audio as is on the video. So we'll see how that comes out. And you can just take a look at the video. I'll link the video in the podcast. It'll be on YouTube. It's just got some PowerPoint stuff in it. So it's just a new idea that I'm trying. But I thought I could dive into some of that here. And I don't know, you know, with some of the visual stuff, it's tough to put it in podcast form. And I didn't want to really write an article because I just wrote a book about it. And, you know, so I figured I'd do a video. So we'll see how that goes. So I hope you enjoy the podcast. Again, check the link if you want to sort of follow along or see some of the pictures that I'm doing. And we'll see how we can, we'll see how that goes. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this intro here. Stay tuned and I'll have the audio right after this. Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to sort of take some time and take a look at some different topics here that are going on in Dynasty Fantasy Football in a series of new shows that I'm working on, AOD Applied. And this one is going to be Analytics of Dynasty Applied Trey Lance, because I think this one's a really interesting I think it's a really interesting story. And so I've actually gone ahead, created, incorporated some book from the Analytics of Dynasty 2022 edition that has some work on quarterbacks, some different quarterback profiles and the like. So you're going to be able to take a look at that. If you haven't purchased the book, you can go ahead and get the book at analyticsofdynasty.com. If you have, you can sort of follow along. You might recognize some of the you know, some of the content here that is in this particular video. So I want to take a look at some stuff that is going on with Trey Lance. And yeah, so we'll just we're going to add in some slides here. And so Trey Lance's value. And I've just noticed, I mean, I don't listen to all of the Dynasty podcasts, but I'm able to sort of pick up some, you know, some threads, I guess. Then when you look at some of the market value stuff, I think it's really something. So just my instant reaction on Twitter drew a big reaction was it's become an accepted truth in Dynasty that Trey Lance is going to be an elite quarterback. And you know, I just the average observation, right? And so I went ahead and I sort of look at this, I think it's an interesting, you know, I think it's an interesting profile because what do we have? Well, we've got a few things, right, with his profile. He's a top 10 quarterback, so we kind of know historically what the value of that is. I'm not going to sort of dive into that full here. But really what I'm interested in is what his cost means in terms of like his odds, right? And so that's one of the big things that I think with, you know, with AOD that we've really been able to do is try and put an idea, try and put the value to a particular a meaning, right? So what do I mean by that? Well, typically what we see is the cost means something, right? The cost of a player implies something about their odds, right? So if the market in a free, an open market like Dynasty Fantasy Football, right, where information can affect the cost. There's no structures, right? There's no caps or anything like that. In a true free market, the market's pretty good. It's pretty efficient, right? And it'll tell us, right? It has signal. It has predictiveness in terms of accomplishments. It has predictiveness in terms of production. It's not perfect. There's a lot we can't control, but there is a lot of value in the number, right? So a lot of value in the market number. So if a quarterback means, you know, is quarterback 10, they're probably better than quarterback 20, right? That's you know, that's what that means. If it's a quarterback, you know, that quarterback at 10 probably doesn't have the same odds as quarterback 1, right? Just generally, that makes sense. Similar to a house price, right? If you're looking at a house price and you know, a house costs, you know, $1 million, right? There's certain expectations that go along with that, right? It's got a roof, like depending on the neighborhood which you're in, it might have, you know, 6 bedrooms. It might have 3, right? It might have 8 bathrooms. It might have 4, right? All that stuff kind of depends. But when you are looking at a house and it has a number attached to it, right? You could sort of look and, you know, based on where it is, have an idea about what is in it, right? Because that will sort of signal to you what, at least generally, what it's, you know, what type of value it has, what type of, you know, square footage, what kind of type of structure that it has. And then, you know, you have to dig a little bit more to see if it's worth it, right? If everything works right. But that's the same thing with Dynasty, right? A quarterback 7, right? It should have certain types of expectations, right? And there's going to be certain lines that they're going to draw. So all that stuff is really valuable, and I found that to be particularly valuable. So I want to dive through into a couple things. So one of the things that I really think is important is as we go along in Dynasty Fantasy Football, one of the things that you will see is whether or not a person has hit before is a big predictor of future success at the quarterback position. So what do I mean by that? Guys who haven't done it are statistically significant degree less likely to produce in the future. Several key thresholds. Okay. And so I detail that in the 2022 edition. You can go check it out. But so for here, I think it's important. I'll just incorporate some of the findings here. So So one of the things that you see is top 12 seasonal finishes through the first 5 years for top 12 quarterbacks. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's break that down. So a top 12 seasonal finish is you finish with the most points and right, where you rank at the position, okay, and total points over the course of a year. I use total points because it's some people want to use points per game, but that doesn't, how do you blend that with the situation where the guy only plays six games, right? There's value to the actual games. I use top 12 seasonal finishes. I find that more predictive than actually points per game as well. So that's why I use that. That's what it means. Where do you basically rank in top 12 seasonal finishes? It's about the scoring system that I use is it's somewhat similar to FFPC. For what that's worth, I throw a little bit on top of, I make it 6 point passing touchdowns and I jump it a little bit in terms of the interception. So it basically works about the same. So just think of it that way. It's generic. It's pretty generic scoring. And so what you see here is in this graph is you see some pretty significant things. So I break the guys that are in the top 12 of ADP. And this goes back to 2008 when we have Dynasty ADP. I break them down into two buckets. Guys who have hit before for a top 12 seasonal finish and guys who haven't. And so you look at the guys who have versus the guys who haven't and then see what they do over the next 5 years, right? So if we were looking now, we would look, if this offseason, right, we would look at the guys from this offseason and we would judge them in the 2022 season, 2023, 2024, 2025, and 2026. That is sort of what this would be looking at, right? And it would say, all right, what sort of expectations do we have? Well, if you look at it, it's pretty close in terms of not missing, right? The guys in the top 12 of ADP, there's a really good chance that they hit, which I think is notable. 16% of guys who have hit before miss over the next 5 years. That's 20% for guys who haven't hit. So in terms of just threshold getting off the ground, there's not much difference there. So you could say, okay, well, that's good. Where's the difference lie after that? Well, what happens is very significantly, the guys that have done it before have very, very high ranges of outcome. Very, very high. Okay, so if you look, 30% of them finish with four top 12 seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. And then it's 8% that finishes with five, right? So almost 1 in 10 will finish the next 5 years top 12 seasonal finish, which you think is pretty remarkable given all of the factors, all the injury risks and the like, aging concerns and all of that. I mean, almost 40% are going for top 12 seasonal finishes over the next 4 out of 5 years, right? That's a really good number. When you sort of look 3 out of 5, so more than half of the next seasonal finishes, which I think a lot of people would think is a disappointment if you draft someone up there, that's 24%. So all of a sudden you're looking at more than 60% of these guys are producing in the next 5 seasons are going to produce at least half of those seasons as top 12 seasonal finishes, right? That's a really good number. When you look at guys who have not hit, right, none of them have gone on to hit 5 times in a row. And only 20% have hit more than 3 times. Hit 3 or more times, right? And you compare that to more than 60% for guys who have hit before, right? So that's a big difference, right? So when you're just looking at these buckets, that is a big, big difference. I've tested it at multiple thresholds. It holds up, right? Significant, significant difference between guys who haven't hit in that bucket versus guys who have. In fairness, not a huge bucket for guys that haven't hit for a top 12 seasonal finish, being top 12 ADP. Which should probably tell us something, and I'll get to that in a minute. It should probably tell us something about what the market should be, right? We should probably be cautious on that, right? Historically, we haven't done it. Historically, it hasn't worked. So we should be really careful if we're going to really lean into a historical strategy that hasn't been successful and hasn't really been something that we do. If we're going to sort of morph into that, right, we should have some signal or some evidence that maybe it works, and we don't. So that's a big reason that I have a ton of caution with this. So we'll get going further into that. But I think that's a good threshold thing to start with. If you look right now at the market, I just using Keep Trade Cut. Great resource over there. Trey Lance, quarterback 7 right now in terms of ADP. Of course, he doesn't have a hit. Justin Fields, quarterback 9, he doesn't have a hit. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback 10, he doesn't have a hit. So you got three guys in the top 12, three guys in the top 10 that don't have hits. You got key guys after them, Wilson, Watson, Stafford at 11, 12, and 13. Jalen Hurts, I think, is an interesting comp in this whole experience as well, who actually gets on the board last year, was about where Trey Lance was in terms of valuation, that Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence range last year. And he actually falls in price, which I think is a cautionary thing because he basically produced what his price was and fell, right? Which I think is something that you have to be really careful about with these guys, saying that they're insulated, saying all these things. He's fallen, a round or so based off of where he was last year, right? At least where the quarterback 10 to 12 range is last year, right? That's around from 3 to 4 is a lot more significant than around from 9 to 10. Okay. So you have to be careful when you're making these investments up there, but you can see Lance, Zach Wilson, a big gap down there to 16, Tua and Aaron Rodgers down there at 18, right? Mac Jones in there as well. So you have basically, between Lance, Fields, Lawrence, Mac Jones, and Zach Wilson, you have 5 of the top 16 guys without a hit. 6 of the top 17 guys, if you look at Tua. So there's a lot of just basic ground balls that you don't have to trip over, right? And I think that those are key things to watch for. You'll see what I mean going up forward here. So that's just the lay of the land where the market is. You look up at the top, you've got Allen, you got Mahomes, you got Herbert, right? Tier break there. I would put Prescott in that tier with them at the bottom of that tier, and then there's a tier break. And then, for reasons that I can't make this video a day long, but I have concerns about Burrow, which you'll probably see echo in some of these slides here that I got coming up. So when you look at the hit rate, I think that this is a key one, right? So when you look here, I made it a little bit bigger here so that you can see. One of the things that I found in my research is when basically as a threshold gets harder to meet, fewer people do it. The decay is quicker. It becomes harder at any individual point. It becomes harder to do it as you go further down, right? So what do I mean by that? If you look at this graph, what you'll see is I have basically three different thresholds. The first threshold that I have on here is the odds that someone hits once in the next 3 years, right? That's a top 12 seasonal finish at any point in the next 3 years. That's the orange line on this, right? And you look up at the top, it's really high, right? And like 90%+. Like if you're up at that range, right? If you're a top 5 quarterback, you're going to hit that. You're almost always going to hit that unless you get injured. Basically, it's really what you should think about that. Typically, right? That's if you're missing on those types of picks, you have to reassess your process. But as you look, it goes down. Right. And it goes down. You go, you get to about round, about quarterback 20, and it's basically, in the mid 40% or so, right? Thereabouts. Okay. So quarterback 20 has about that odds. All right. So now when you go to a harder threshold, what you see is the drop is quicker. Right. So you look at a top half seasonal finish. It doesn't drop that much really for guys up at the top, right? You're still looking in the mid 70s up at the elite quarterbacks. You look in the at quarterback 5, for example, if all you know about someone is quarterback 5, their odds of hitting for a top half seasonal finish, so a top 6 finish over the next 3 years, it's about 66%. So about 2/3 of the time. Like, it's a pretty good number, right? So, but as you look, it gets steeper, right? The drop is quicker, right? The drop is, it's a harder threshold to hit. So it's, the decay is more steep, okay? So that's what you're looking with there. When you get to the extreme, really the high leverage hits, the high leverage guys. So multiple top half finishes in the next 5 years. What you see is the odds of that happening are pretty low. There's only about 5 or 6 guys that really you think have a better than 50% shot to do that. And when you start looking at that, when you start looking at, odds to hit and the like, 50% of guys, a 50% chance to accomplish something it's basically a coin flip, and only 6 guys, 5 or 6 guys get to that. I think you can tease it out a couple of different ways and actually include more it's beyond this. You'll see in some other slides what I sort of mean, what I'm hinting at with some of that stuff. But just take it from this, you know, just if you just know the number, it's a about five or six guys, right, are going to be at or about 50% shots to be a top half guy over the next 5 years. Okay. And so when you get down into the teens, right, when you get down to about 10, that number has dropped below 30%. Okay. And so that's when you start looking at that, it is a, like, that's a big deal in terms of, especially relative to at some of the higher thresholds. For example, if you look at, you know, if you're just looking at a top half finish over the next 3 years, right, that's about, you know, that quarterback 10 has about, you know, about a 75% chance to do it compared to about a 90% chance to do it for the top quarterback. However, when you start coming down to the higher threshold, you see it's a massive, right, that's a, it becomes a huge gap, right? It's about what, you know, about 60 to 70% for the top guys up there to produce a multiple top half seasonal finishes. And then it absolutely craters down to about 30% for quarterback 10. So when you see that, right, there's a huge difference there. There's not a huge difference in terms of sort of getting on the board and, you know, hey, can you hit? Like, yeah, there's a difference between 80 to 90% and, you know, 70 to 80%. There's a difference there, but it's not huge. What the difference between these guys ends up being is the odds of a massive hit, the odds of a big difference, and that's what you end up seeing with this. And so when you take a guy like Trey Lance, it's not that he can't be productive, it's that what you're really sacrificing is elite odds, right, compared to some of the guys here up at the top. And you saw that basically when you so these two things should really pop out to you, right? The multiple top half finishes, or the multiple top 12 seasonal finishes, right? And then you start looking at this and you sort of see, you know, these trends are going to reappear. So I have what I call the star asset line, right? You know, you start looking at guys and it's, you know, odds to basically produce 40% top half seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. And you sort of get in, you know, and this is really the line, right? So it's basically the top seven guys for Supermax, which is the tier above this, it's 50%. I bumped the threshold up to 50%. It's only five guys. You know, so you see, but what I think the key feature of this is the steepness, right? So someone that I was in this Trey Lance conversation, they posted, hey, I traded Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and 103 for Justin Herbert. And really what you did is you went from, and the way I look at a trade like that, I would look at it a little bit differently than this graph, but you sort of look, you went from, you know, below this red line to all the way up here, right? You went below the red line. You went from, you know, 30% or so, all the way up to 60% in terms of odds of hitting, you know, multiple top half finishes over the next 5 years, right? You massively increased your odds, right? It's like you're looking on a roller coaster, right? You're on the steep part where you're starting to really scream and get going fast, right? That's the difference between dropping from Herbert down to Lance, right? And then you sort of get out to the later parts of the position, right, into the teens, and it's a much more gradual decrease, right? But that beginning part, that's a steep, steep decrease at the elite levels of the position, the elite accomplishment. So I do think, like, when you look at these, you have to understand what you're getting yourself into. All right. I break it out a little bit more. So we break this chart here breaks it into your top six seasonal finishes in Y1 through five, right, for prior hits, right? So I break this down a little bit more. So we're just looking at the top 12 of ADP, right? We're looking at how they do over the next 5 years after they were drafted in the top 12 of ADP. And we look at them in three different buckets, right? Did they have a prior hit? Did they have one prior hit? Or did they have multiple prior hits? So the multiple prior hits are two or more. One prior hit obviously means they entered the season with one hit, and no prior hits means they did not have a hit before on the resume. So when you start looking at these, what you suddenly see, and these are all, again, this is statistical significance to these numbers. Okay, it tests out, right? When you start seeing these, what you'll see is a big difference between the guys who have done it before versus the guys that have not done it before. Okay. I want you to go back and think about that Trey Lance and Justin Herbert example for a second. Okay. If you're looking here, the Justin Herbert you know, the Justin Herbert number, right? Or excuse me, the Trey Lance number is about, you know, we'll call it about 10%. It's a little bit lower than that, a little bit less than 10% here. But when you are looking at the Justin Herbert number, it's up in the 80% range. Multiple prior hits. He's at quarterback 3 right now in terms of cost, right? I'm just using keep trade cut as the proxy for that, but that's about what the market reflects, right? That is a massive jump that you're making. That is an enormous jump in odds. Right, that is an enormous jump in odds because quarterbacks that have not done it before are at a lot of risk. Quarterbacks that have done it before, especially multiple times, they're so much massively better than quarterbacks that have not done it before that it's so worth paying for. Right, so the person that paid 103 plus Trey Lance plus Zach Wilson, right, that GM massively improved their odds. Massive improvement. And so what you really begin to see is there's a big gap here between some of these guys, you know, as you look forward. So I think that is that's a really, really big deal, right? So and as you begin looking, what you'll see is you know, guys like Trey Lance will have similar odds to guys like Aaron Rodgers, even though Aaron Rodgers is sort of out further at the position. You know, he sort of gets, you know, I looked at this in a couple of different ways as well, where you see, you know, that range of the position operates a little bit differently than the top 12, right? Because the longevity is not quite there. So it's a steeper line as you start comparing them. I'm not going to bore you to death with all the math, but what you end up seeing is, you know, Lance might have, depending on how you want to measure it, a little bit better chance to produce a, you know, multiple top 6 finishes. I think depending on how you want to break it down would be sort of where I would begin that process. But it's close, right? You might give Lance a little bit of an edge just because he has, he is a lot more expensive, right? So the market is indicating something with that. But he is, he hasn't done it yet. And he's younger, so he has a little bit more longevity. So you could sort of, right, there's a number of different ways to parse the argument. What I haven't found, and this Rodgers isn't a great example, the Stafford's probably a better one. Stafford and Lance have really similar odds, right, going forward in terms of production, and it's at a massively different price, right? So it's, you know, keep trade cut has them 2 to 3 rounds different, which is a massive price up at this part of the position. So clearly the pick there is Stafford. You pass on Lance and take Stafford. This would be clearly what I would say. I think it's also worth noting that the difference in some of these things isn't that different. You know, it's not that it's everyone makes the argument about ceiling, right? Everyone will say, oh, well, Lance has got this ceiling. Well, the problem is his floor is catastrophic. And I'm not going to say that he's not going to, right? It's impossible, right? But it is very much a very dangerous floor would be, I think, the thing that I would say. As you sort of look in this, you know, I sort of adjusted these numbers a little bit. So when you just look at the position in general and take it out more broadly than just the top 12, the shape of the numbers get a little bit different. But if you're sort of comparing that way, Lance gets a little bit of a boost. So you'd say about 26%. Again, because the numbers sort of shape to the top of the curve. And when you look at, you know, a guy like Stafford, who would be, you know, at about quarterback, he's at quarterback 12 or 13 or so, you know, his number is about 26% as well, right, for multiple top half seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. So despite the age, the other thing that I'd say about this is the age hasn't been predictive of value insulation. It's just not true to a statistically significant degree. So guys that haven't done it are much more much more risky in terms of both value and production. They're not insulated for value to the extent that the market thinks that they are, and that's been tested, right? And I think that if someone is saying that, just be careful, because that's not unless they have different actual data, it's just pure speculation at this point, and there's nothing to actually suggest that it's true. So just be careful on those sorts of things. And just remember, I mean, we were promised last year that Trevor Lawrence was can't miss. I'm not sure where we are with that at this point. You know, I'm just not sure where we are at this point with the can't miss, right? I mean, might he miss? Yeah, I think he might miss. I think there's a good chance that he misses. You know, might he hit? Yeah, I think there's a good chance that he probably hits. Should we view him differently after 1 year? I think so. Right? I think we probably should. We should probably adjust our opinions on it. But just this goes to the thing of, oh, he's right. This is his floor. No, his floor is a lot lower, right? I saw that Jalen Hurts is that Trey Lance's floor is Jalen Hurts. No, it's worse. Right? It's much worse. You know, and frankly, we've seen this before, right? We've seen Kaepernick. We've seen these guys. Again, I think probably Lance is better than Kaepernick. But just to vault these guys up, right? We've seen this with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's a really good example of what you don't do at quarterback, right? You don't vault guys up without them having done it before, right? And this is a constant thing that happens, and the market loves to do it. And every time the market does it to a statistically exploitable and significant degree, they're wrong. And so I think, like, as you start looking at these things, you know, this is just a little bit of AOD applied. It's a clear pass, right? You go Lance plus to Stafford, right? Just think about what that would have been last year for Lawrence plus Stafford, right? Lawrence to Stafford plus what that would have been. Same thing with Fields, same thing with Lance, right? To Rodgers, right? And so already you've got 1 year banked. Those are big deals. That's a lot of value, right? That's a win and a half, maybe two wins, you know, depending on who you were, you know, about how you were filling those other spots. If you were running Lawrence out there every week, you were getting bludgeoned by Stafford. You're getting bludgeoned by Rodgers. You're getting bludgeoned by Dak, right? So as you start looking at these things, you know, just by way of reference, when you start looking at the, you know, Lance and Prescott are right next to each other. Prescott in every metric would smash Lance in terms of odds for a top, you know, multiple top half hits. So I do think all that stuff's important. So I wanted to do a little bit of a breakout video. So I hope that's all helpful. So if you haven't bought the book yet, you can go ahead and get it at analyticsdynasty.com. I actually am cutting this as both a podcast and a video, so it's going out to all subscribers for Analytics of Dynasty, so you can find more daily content over there at analyticsofdynasty.com. So hope you enjoy the video, and until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.